everybody.
Hey, how
how'd you get in here?
Oh, wow. I guess Larry. We're starting now. Just
Josh.
I'm so not prepared. I'm not warmed up. It's not like we've been talking for the last 20 minutes or anything about stuff nobody can hear.
Yeah, we can. We should put that. What do they call that? What's that thing? The Patreon?
Yeah.
Or whatever?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The behind the scenes stuff?
Yeah, we should share the stuff that we really don't want to share with the general public. We should at least make people pay for it.
One more thing before we start recording, Andy, that ointment is coming on Tuesday.
No, and wait, we started.
You keep genitals.
Larry, this is it.
Okay.
We're in it now.
Sorry, I just, if I had to tell you, otherwise I'd forget. Go ahead.
I appreciate it.
When the people that you know don't like you, and your treasured friendships end, tune into this podcast. We're your artificial friends.
Yay! Hey, so top of the program here, a couple of quick programming notes. One, I talked to Sam Farmer.
Yeah.
And he says he does not care for either of you.
Yeah, no.
Good
never has, well, and probably he's kind of given up on
true that. Artificial friend.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
Well, I've forgotten who you're talking about. So,
tell me more about this farmer character.
Sam, number one, he's just getting back, and as you might imagine, after spending the entire football season out and traveling around and covering things for the LA Times, he now has to tend to things that he has neglected for the last 7 months, like his family,
yeah, like us. Say, yeah. I thought we were going to be right in that list. Okay,
we're on the list. We're pretty low, prioritized in the whole thing.
Yeah.
But anyway, I did share a conversation with him. We went back and forth about things for a little while, and I just wanted to. I wonder if I could
spit it out. What's going on over there?
I hope I'm not betraying a trust by sharing this text. But he says, "I was just saying, hey, you know, I kind of feel bad that his name is attached to all of these subpar podcasts that he's not in. You know, people hear him talk about it and say, hey, I'm part of this podcast. Then they tune in and hear us yin yangs talk for a while. Yeah. And I just kind of worried after a while, are we your Billy Carter? You know,
Billy
are we
Beer.
Your George Clinton? Yeah. Are we, you know, are we a horrible embarrassment that you just, you don't want to publicly denounce?
Yeah. Well, have you noticed the number of calls and emails that tend to always say, I really miss Sam. Can't wait till Sam comes back.
Yeah. There's heaps
people
of
are
those.
Just tolerating us basically until the triumphant return of the Sam Farmer fellow.
Treading water at that point. But, you know, I just wanted to reach out and say, hey, you know, I don't have to put the graphic up every week that has on assignment misspelled over your head. And if you notice this last week, I finally just put a picture of all four of us and I stopped doing that because, you know, I thought it was funny because it was misspelled.
Right.
But I see after a while that, you know, people probably think I'm just a dipshit.
I wonder how many, I wonder if we could go back and look at like all the downloads and see if they stopped streaming like 15 seconds in when they announced that Sam Farmer's on a side.
Yeah, right.
like you just see
all the analytics on that. get the Sam analytics going. Oh. Anyway, I said, hey, you know, realizing that we're doing this, you know, a lot of times without your presence, you know, you're our brother and you're, you know, we want you around. But he's like, what are you talking about? Yeah, absolutely. He goes, I'm really sorry. I haven't made time for you, and I haven't been able to because of all of these things going on. But no. And he said, rest assured, and I know this will warm your heart. If I truly felt it, I would be the in caps first to tell you guys to blank off. And he goes on to say, and I likely wouldn't leave it at that, but now I'm just getting mushy.
Oh, that sweet old sentimental soul, Sam Farmer.
Yes. Aww. Yes, yes, yes. But anywho, wanted to give this program note that it won't be this week. And we're going off to a cabin in the woods.
That sounds fun.
Next weekend. And so we're going to take a little hiatus if it's cool next weekend. So hopefully we'll aim for the week after
Do, Andy, is I plan my vacations around this podcast. So I make sure we get it in before I go and have my holiday.
But yeah, I mean, didn't you have a San Diego excursion planned?
That's tomorrow. I didn't want to do it on a Saturday so we could get this one, you know, recorded and everything. So, you know, but
good
go
for
ahead,
you.
Andy.
Thank you for your consideration. Family.
No problem.
Thanks, guys. I will. I certainly will. Josh, right off the bat, there's a couple of things that we were chatting about there that I said, yeah, just stick a little pin in it. Larry was sharing with us that he felt, some unease, some dis-ease over the last few weeks, and he meditated and took a moment, and he everything was right as rain. You piped in and said, you both said you used some CBD. Mm-hmm. Tell me about your experience, Josh. You seemed effusive with your praise.
I just notice when it's around the evening time and it's starting to get hectic, and I'm making dinner, and it's right when I get on edge, at that point where I'm about to snap.
That's when you put on, and which record is it from the Charlie Daniels Band that does this for you?
That's when I grab my Alice in Chains album.
No. It's a different CBD bit. CBD. It's that same old
CBD. No, I'm sorry. I was thinking of something else.
That stuff, it brings me back down to earth. Just, you don't feel it. It just calms you down. Like, you're like, okay. It's not that big of a deal, but yeah, every once in a while when I feel like I'm just about to lose it, have a long day and everybody's freaking out and it just all is piling up and you're like, Jesus Christ, I just want to have I just want to go sit in a dark room and stare at a wall for an hour.
And you smoke a big doob and
drink a bottle of Jack Daniels.
So people who don't know about this, and I would imagine there are still a few who steer clear of it because they think that there is some psychoactive element to it. But the CBD that you take doesn't have any psychoactive effect. It's just the cannabinoids in it that get in your bloodstream
daddy's
and
medicine.
Massage your little carpuscles.
Yes, daddy's medicine. One part Bacardi, one part Coke, and a little dash of CBD.
There you go.
Daddy's little reward.
Yeah, exactly.
It would be surprising if people haven't heard about it because it was such a hot trend for a minute there, a little over a year ago or about a year and a half ago, to the point where at the radio station, we were turning down business because we had like six different companies that wanted to do it. And then, of course, the FDA stepped in and started talking about what you could say and what you couldn't say. And then there was a little bit of uproar. But there was a period where, you know, you'd walk by a CVS and they would have giant CBD signs on there. It was just becoming this trendy thing. And to me, it felt like there was not a whole lot of control of what kind of product you were going to get, because I read up on it quite a bit. Yeah. And right around that time, I was having trouble sleeping really well. And we had a client come in to the radio station that they offered free product. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to try it. And this was also right around the time that I was trying to manage that vertigo that I'd been going through.
And Yeah.
So I actually took some of the oil straight one day, middle of the day, where I was just like, again, pent up anxiety. I was thinking about taking a nap because I had to turn around and go back and do the night show and finish up some stuff. And it was just like, I'm just going to see if this does. It was at night. I took it when I got home, and it did send my head spinning a little bit. That was not a good experience. So I backed off of it for a long time. But I feel like they've gotten a handle on exactly the best ways to ingest it. And Charlotte did a lot of research for one that was CBD with some like anti-inflammatory stuff, like turmeric and some of these other. It's a powder that we actually use like in our protein shakes, or you can mix it in your coffee, really. Yeah. Alex does that when he's got like a particularly stressful day ahead. And I use it kind of sparingly now because I just don't want it to be something that I just get so build up an immunity to that I don't even feel it anymore. Right. Yeah, you could. Absolutely.
I've become addicted to drinking brake fluid.
No.
But I can stop anytime I want.
Sure. Yeah.
No, sorry.
You know what's crazy?
I feel the same as Josh. I get it just takes a little bit of that edge off. I feel absolutely no kind of residual effect. It does make me a little sleepy. So I always have to kind of be prepared.
Yeah, I wouldn't wake up in the morning and take it. I noticed at first when I got the oil, right? And when I got it, it's like in this small, tiny container. And I'm just like, holy crap, there's barely anything in here. This is going to be like, what is this, like 3 doses? You know what I mean? And then when you open up the dropper, is like just a super tiny dropper. And then when you realize how little that you actually need, I'm like, holy, now this thing's going to last me like 6 months. You know what I mean? But when I first got it, you literally, when you're using the oil, the drops are just very, very minuscule. But when I started it, I was having some very vivid and weird dreams for like the first couple of weeks. Now I don't really have them as much anymore. But
and all this from just from rubbing it on your nipples.
Yeah, yeah. I mainline it. Just a little, comes a little tiny syringe. I just go, like that.
And any leftover, you just rub it on your gums.
Yeah, exactly. I put it on the finger, let the dogs lick it off.
That's fun. That's fun.
Everybody's happy over at the Fligger house.
I'd stand by it. And I have never been, I've never been a pot smoker. I've never been, I just never liked the idea of smoking anything, frankly. So, and I know there's literally no relation to it other than a very distant one in terms of the effect it has on you. But I stand by this stuff. And
Lara loves it. She, and whenever she, takes it, she says she has a noticeable, lowering of anxiety and everything. So, I think I got some benefit from it when I had, some injuries.
Yeah.
Taking it for that. But, like my tennis elbow, like I was rubbing it in there and, I would have tried anything at that point because it really sucked and had to go to physical therapy for it. But that seemed to also help. So, whatever you need to do.
I'm married to you. I would imagine Lara is probably injecting it directly.
Dropping it in her eyes. Like she's wearing a sweatband like Jimi Hendrix and just constantly has tabs underneath it. Hey, Andy,
are you assholes?
I tried something else that Laura is a big fan of this morning, actually.
What's that?
My wife got a weighted blanket for Valentine's Day.
What?
Oh, look at that. That thing is a lot heavier than you would expect it to be. Wasn't prepared for. I mean, it didn't like suffocate me, but like picking it up folded together, I'm like, holy shit, this is like. It's pretty heavy. It's not like a concrete block, but it's heavy.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
They ain't kidding around. Yeah.
15 pounds. I mean, think of holding 3 bags of flour. It's weighty.
I didn't get to sleep with it, but my first initial review was I think I like it. I didn't think I would. I thought I would hate it, and she's not sure she likes it, and she's the one that wanted it, and I'm like, I think I might actually like this. I don't know.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I wanted to ask you, Josh, and this is feel free to say, Andy, this is clearly none of your goddamn business. Okay. But
Andy, clearly this is none of your goddamn business.
Yeah, there we go.
I just wanted to say that, so go ahead.
Do you still, you've told us many times, you volunteered that you use a CPAP.
Oh, yeah. I love it. I live
still sleep
it.
With it every night?
Oh, yeah.
You love it, right?
Yep.
I've been seeing commercials for this... I can't think what the name of it is. It's a thing where the guy presses a button and it changes something inside his body. I'm going to guess there's a mechanism that opens up, I don't know, your adenoids or something to make it easier to...
Yeah, this is like an implant thing that they do,
implant,
right?
Yeah. You implant it, and then you get like a remote control. So, so you
this
know,
is like when they remember when they used to have pumps on your shoes?
Yeah.
It's like that pump, for your nose.
Pump it up. Got to pump it up. Yeah. It's like that. Yeah. It's a remote control. He presses a button on it, and his garage door opens. No. And his... And somehow it opens up.
Don't get confused with your erectile dysfunction button. You got to keep those remotes separate.
Or be creative. Yeah. So my question was, have you ever thought of something like that? Have you even heard about something like that? And I don't know what the story is with it. It sounds fascinating.
I don't have a problem with my CPAP, so I'm not sticking anything. I'm not sticking anything in my nose. It's hooked up to remote control. I'm good.
Ain't broke, don't fix it.
Exactly. I got enough remote control things around the house. I don't need my effing sinuses to be in remote control.
Yeah,
Alexa, open up sinuses.
I'd be doing that during our podcast all the time.
Alexa, pop wood.
Hey Siri, expand in Josh's nose.
Hey, guess what came? Guess what we got this week? Finally showed up.
Oh, the fridge!
The fridge is here.
Oh yeah! The fridge is here.
Wow! Oh, tell us about it.
It's great. It is gigantic. It's a little bigger than we thought it was, so it sticks out a bit much.
That's what she said.
I'm digging it. I'm having problems syncing the calendar with it. But I just last night, I had Spotify going and a recipe up on my refrigerator going at the same time while I was cooking. It's just, I'm digging it so far.
Wow.
It's awesome. Finally got an ice maker. Oh, it's so nice.
Does it keep food cold?
Yes, it does that too.
would be a bummer if it does all that stuff. But it's right? Like all our cheese went bad. What the hell?
They overlooked something.
Yeah.
You know, I was going to pull this up and see. I was going to show you.
Oh, you've got the app going.
Oh, yeah. I can do anything. I can control my ice tray. Here if you guys want to look what's inside my fridge right now. Yeah. See that? There you go.
Very nice.
Yeah, that's a little. That's a container of broccoli right on top of it. That's apple juice. So we got that happening.
So from the room that you're in, could you fill the floor of the kitchen with ice cubes right now?
Owen's obsessed with it because like the first time he heard it, because you know it makes an audible when it's empty in the ice. He was in the dining room and he heard it. He's like, "It's making ice, Dad! Dad, it's making ice!" I'm like, yeah, it is. Yeah,
a lot of them do that. That kid doesn't have a whole lot of outside stimulation right now.
Exactly, been inside for a year, so it's the little things.
Larry, right before we got started, you said something about you had a lot of things going on right now. Is that personal stuff or is there something that you can share with us?
I don't think I exactly said that. I just said I had some news.
I'm paraphrasing.
As part of kind of things that are going on with us, one of the things that's interesting, especially since we've been talking about, you know, being cooped up and how we're feeling and all that stuff. But we had the very first conversation this week about the possibility of going back and doing our shows in studio.
Wow.
Yeah.
How'd that go?
Well, fine. I mean, I think there's some sort of effort to just give it a try and see what the comfort level was with people and still have some pretty serious separation and protocols in place. And it wouldn't be like full staffs and we would be working out of separate rooms and stagger them and things like that. There's all sorts of planning. I don't know exactly what the date is. And I think they're keeping an eye on things. Just, you know, any kind of surge back the other direction, they'll probably, you know, pull the plug on that. But right. It feels closer to kind of what we were doing in that first week where only talent was coming in and you were to leave and, you know, wipe down and everything. And they're going to put even more specific restrictions in place. Like I said, probably separate rooms, stagger those, let one room air out and all that stuff for 5 hours until the other person comes in. So it's but the remarkable thing is to think about it's pretty close to a year since we started doing this. And
yeah, it's gonna be a year.
That's
next
phenomenal
month.
To me that we haven't. The last time it was in there for just a brief period, and I have a picture of it in our little communal kitchen that I went into to just grab some coffee. Somebody had put St. Patrick's Day decorations up, and they were still there, and they're probably going to be just in time to stay up when we all go back in, because that's about the right timing. But yeah, it's just a weird thing to think about readjusting my life to that.
Yeah.
And I don't know how I feel about it yet, but you know, I want to be a team player on that.
Sure. And you want to put the best product out on, you know, people's speakers.
Yep. Will improve it. The fact that we can do as much as we have done in the home, I think shows that it can sound great, and there's, you know, certainly listeners don't notice, but there is just that factor of just being in the moment, actually being able to regularly take calls. Mm-hmm. But the idea that right now I can kind of get a five hour shift done in under an hour and then the idea of kind of being tethered to that studio for that full period of time is going to be an adjustment again.
Sure.
You know?
Sure. Yeah. Well, that's, you know, I've been working from here, from home, for all of this time, since last March. I've been, you know, doing my show from here, with rare exception. And last night was one of those rare exceptions. It's 88.5 is in pledge drive. It's a February little pop-up pledge drive. So I, you know, go into the studio, take my temperature, of course, and all of that, and go through all the protocols, and everybody's wearing a mask, and wipe down everything before I start, wipe down everything after I'm done, and all that good business. But did my show from Master Control for the first time since November.
Was it hard? Was it like
what's great? What's great
the muscle
is
memory of doing everything.
And it doesn't leave because I'm sitting there and I'm doing segues and you know, doing crossfades on stuff. Yeah. And like, there was one other person in the room, the pledge director Laura, and she's, you know, other side of the room. She's 15 feet away, but she hears the segue. She's like, "Wow, that was good." I said, "I know." it's a lot of fun to do that. But I've got to be there for the pledge drive because I can see on screens in real time, you know, when people write in and can, you know, print them out real quick and thank them and so forth. Don't have that ability here as much to do those things. So, it's just so much more important to be there and have that, you know, that human interaction with people. But it's a weird thing. And people were asking about, how do you feel about coming back to the studio? And I'm like, really? I don't know. Driving across town every day, fighting traffic to go and do it when, you know, my setup's pretty good. I've got really good, you know, quality. It's not an SM58 and, you know, a Behringer mixer. I've sunk money into what I do for a living, for voiceover and everything else. I got a world-class, you know, signal chain. So I think it sounds better than the equipment that they've got there. you know, our engineer's fantastic. Right. Mike is great. But, you know, you can only make, you know, an SM57 sound so good.
Yeah. Well, you've also got it processed for you. So,
right.
Exactly. So everything in a radio station, unless you have a really fancy setup where you can do individual settings on like mic processing, you've got it set up to enhance, you know, your shitty little voice to sound as good as possible. And they don't have that in the radio station. It's the same. It's, you know, one size fits all for everybody who sits down in front of that mic. But just keep going.
Thank you.
He turns off. He turns off the mic. And he's like, "Oh, this is not the trouble."
But this is my real voice.
That's a dead on impression, Josh. That was good.
There was a commercial when I was a kid. When I was like 8 or 9, it was for the Safety Bug, and I think it ran during like the afternoon specials, the after school specials.
Yeah, those are the worst.
And it was a cartoon. And it was this bug, and he said, "Some people think I sound like Frankenstein Jr. But really, I'm the safety bug.
Do you remember? Wow. Do you remember the guy?
He's made me think about that.
Do you remember the guy that would do the Saturday morning things? The
time for timer.
Is that? A hanker for time a hunk of slabber slicer.
A hanker for a hunk of cheese.
What was that guy?
What was he? Time for timer.
Yeah, but what was he? He was like, you know what this is?
Take two round crackers and put a little bit of cheese in between. You've got a wagon wheel.
It's like, no, it's a heavy cracker and cheese. Shut up, timer.
Yeah, that guy creeped me out. That guy was weird looking.
Yeah, he was. He wasn't like comforting. Yeah. He did not. No. Yeah. Remember his other thing that he tried to get you to
looked
make
like
too?
An evil demon of some kind.
His other fucking amazing dish to make was put orange juice in an ice tray and then cover it with saran wrap and stick toothpicks in it. And you're like, now you got yourself an orange popsicle. Whee! It's like, no, I don't. This is shitty. I want the good stuff. Where's the Kool-Aid?
Yeah. I remember that. Yeah. He was almost as creepy as Slim Goodbody.
Oh, is that the guy that wore the unitard?
Yeah, it was a unitard that had the organs all drawn on it.
Oh, yeah. So, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And maybe the same group that came up with Mac Tonight for McDonald's. That big old moon face creepy looking guy.
I forgot about that creepy thing.
Mac Tonight. I went to a Halloween party at the end of that year, whatever year that was, like 1987 or something. And somebody had made a paper mache Mac head and went as that. I'm like, A, good on you. That's a great costume. B, it's even more fucking terrifying in person. It's really off-putting what you've shown us tonight. That guy was weird. That was scary.
What's
you remember the McDLT?
Yeah. That's the one you had to make that came in separate things, right?
Yeah, hot on one side, cold on the other side.
Do you remember?
Keep the hot side hot and the cool side cool. It's the McDLT. Yeah.
Do you remember the Whaler for Burger King?
Yeah, but you know, when you get your food, you're hoping that when you go to a fast food place, you're not expecting some assembly required, really. Can I just put it in my face, please?
When, I think we've talked about some of these things before, but my sister worked at Burger King. When I was like...
Yeah, isn't that where you got your barrels or your jar?
Right, your pickle barrels.
No. When I was like 8 or 9, she worked at Burger King and when she was in high school. And they had... Their dessert was this like tetrahedron-shaped... It's like a wedge, but it was a wedge on both ends. Does that make sense? It's hard to explain the shape of it. Anyway.
It was a
popsicle, basically, that you unwrap part of and you just
ate it
like that.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
It was called the Ice Burger.
Oh, shut up. That's
get it? Burger.
Do you remember when you were young, when they actually, I think they used to actually deep fry the apple pies at McDonald's?
Yeah.
And then they'd serve them to you. And you as a child couldn't resist waiting to bite into it. And it was just filled with molten lava.
Oh,
And you would bite, and you knew it every time. You did it every time. You couldn't resist yourself. You'd sit there and stare at it and be like, okay, wait, it's too hot. And you wait 3 seconds. You're like, no, it's good now. And you take a bite. And sure enough, it would scorch in your mouth. And then a chunk of apple would come down and hit you in the chin and leave a big square red mark there because it's singeing your skin. And you're trying to gobble this goop up. So you're like breathing in your mouth to try to cool it down. You're like.
Or you just spit it right back out on your tray. And the thing is, it took 30 minutes for those things to cool down some sense of normalcy.
But then they're cold. You never learned about it. You never, you're like, okay, next time I'm never going to do that again. Then you get one like 2 weeks later, you're like, oh, I got to bite into it.
But it's the same thing with that or pizza rolls or whatever.
Yeah. Or just pizza in general, right out of the oven. Yeah.
Or coffee that you get at a drive-thru. It's molten, molten, cold. There's never, you always miss that window where it's Goldilocks. Yeah. It's you never get it right.
Yeah. Yeah, life sucks.
Yeah. Throw it in the towel.
Yeah, I'm done.
Well, fellas, last time we talked... It was before the Super Bowl, right?
Yes.
Before the COVID Bowl.
It was the day before, and I don't think we made any predictions.
No. Surprised? Did it work out the way you thought?
No. It didn't matter to me, so I had real no prediction. My favorite thing, though, was the arrogant conversation that I had with my sister, arrogant on her side. And this is the way my older sister is. There are just some things she just knows, and she doesn't like crow about it or put it in your face, but she just knows. And she also happens to be a pretty good like online gambler and makes money that way. But she was convinced the Chiefs were going to win.
Yeah.
And B, that it was going to be this like super high scoring game on both sides. And especially when it was a kind of a big defensive battle in the first quarter, and it was I said, nah, it's probably just going to be really boring and 3-0 is the final score. And she got mad at me. Well, when it was the first quarter, it was literally 3-0. The Chiefs had scored a field goal and I texted her just kind of nya. But I did not, because I knew if she would have been so mad if I had said anything. And I heard nothing from her after the Patriots won, and pretty handily, and the Chiefs could literally barely move the ball at one point. It was just it gave me so much pleasure that I couldn't share with anybody else.
It was actually Tampa Bay that won the Super Bowl, though.
I mean, what did I say?
The Patriots.
Patriots. Oh, God. Yeah, might as well. That's just sense memory. Yeah, I can't stop doing that.
Might as well be. My favorite thing about the entire Super Bowl was something that I read after. I don't know if this is true. I don't know if this is a true story or not, but I hope to God it is. Because if it is, it gave me a smile about the whole Super Bowl, and I'm happy with it happening. It's a picture. Somebody sent me this. One of my friends sent it. And it's a picture of two guys, one not wearing a shirt, standing up at a diner, and he has his shirt off and he's holding it in the air.
A diner.
Yeah. What it says is, the person who posted this, he says, "Met the Super Bowl streaker." You see the streaker during the Super Bowl?
I didn't even hear about that until like this week or like this weekend.
Yeah, there was a streaker in the fourth quarter, right. Met the Super Bowl streaker at Jay Alexander's restaurant while having lunch before leaving Tampa. He bet $50,000 on a prop bet at +750 that there would be a streaker at the Super Bowl.
Oh, no way.
His buddy went out first as a diversion so he didn't get caught as quickly as his friend. Cost him $1,000 to get out of jail. So he cleared $374,000 on the bet.
That's you know what? That's insane that they would even take that bet knowing that you can manipulate it. You know what I mean?
Right?
Man. That's some goofy movie starring Jack Black right there. That's a pitch to a Hollywood executive. Is the guy who feels like he's got the inside scoop.
Sandler written all over it.
Yeah.
But the guy waited
in the rule book that says
he waited until the fourth. If this is true, this may just be somebody's bullshit, but it looks like the guy. It really does. And the story's just fantastic. But if that really happened and he waited until the fourth quarter just to see, is some other son of a bitch going to do this? So I don't have to get bailed out of the clink. That's just fantastic.
Ladies and gentlemen, your really time man great. Of the year.
Oh. Love it.
So how many streakers do you think we'll have in next year's Super Bowl?
Yeah, I was gonna say, how many of those bets
right? Like a dozen in the first quarter.
Yeah, take the under. Take the under on those.
And shout out to your artificial friend, Sam Farmer, and his article with Bruce Arians in the LA Times, which was so good, man. And he posted a picture of him sitting in the guy's living room, I think, or something.
Yeah, the morning after the Super Bowl, Sam puts a picture on Instagram of him sitting there with Bruce Arians in his living room, just chilling. That was badass.
Really good stuff.
And Bruce Arians is the best. I'm so glad. I mean, that's my takeaway from it. that makes me happy is that he won. He has been a great coach, a player's coach for a long time. No-nonsense guy who just gets it. He was at Indianapolis for a while, and he was the Steelers, and you have a love for him.
Super Bowl years.
Yep. And in Arizona, which, you know, never quite panned out the way it should have on paper anyway, with Carson Palmer having his injuries and so forth. But yeah, good for him. I'm glad he got his.
Yeah, I didn't watch 1 second of it. I went and I was riding my bike, and then when I just happened to check Sammy. You remember Sam? You know, Super Sammy, big Steelers.
Sure. He, from 100.3 The Sound.
He texted me and just said, "I think I'm going to get six." So I knew that Brady was winning, and that was when I checked in my card, and that was the last time. I actually walked in the living room, or like around the fourth quarter, and Cindy was watching it, and she's like, "I just want to watch the commercials." I'm like, "All right, whatever."
Yeah, that, it was just exactly kind of background noise for me. It was I honestly, the whole thing about the commercials now is just like they get released a week ahead of time.
Yeah.
You've basically seen all of them and already watched through the good ones. And the halftime show, you know, was like, okay, the weekend, not somebody I have a great investment
in. I quit
watching
the commercials when they ended the Bud Bowl. I was like, you know what? There's no more reason to watch. They're canceling the Bud Bowl.
Bud Bowl. Yeah, there was no Budweiser this year, right? No
Budweiser. When was the last Bud Bowl and who won?
Oh, God.
Oh, the Bud Bowl.
Did they have a Puppy Bowl this year?
Yeah they did. I popped over and watched that for a little while.
All right. Yeah. Who won that?
Larry did. Sounds like he's the real winner there.
Warm, fuzzy love is what I won that day. I don't know. All I saw were a bunch of deflated balls. I guess they've been fixed.
So, you're looking in the mirror?
And not enough bitches, if you ask me. So, oh, I got a million of them. I mean, sometimes the play got a little rough, if you know what I mean.
Wow. But, hey, Larry.
You pulled a little trick from the Andy playbook there? The Andy Chandler playbook?
Do dad jokes and puns until people decry you? It's time for us, if you guys don't mind, to take a phone call. We have a phone line set up just for the inquisitive or talkative YAF podcast listener.
Yes.
It's called the YAF line, and that number is 626-657-6428. Too hard to remember? That's okay. There's a mnemonic device. It is O, just the letter O, amok, PM, hat. Mm-hmm. That was my stomach.
And how close are we to hitting our goal this hour, Andy? We're looking to... Oh, wait a minute. Sorry.
Timpani! What the world needs now is... No, I do need a song from you, though, Larry, to play this first one here. Do you... Well, we only have one call, it looks like.
Okay.
Would you be so good as to play our intro?
Sure. Here we go.
Low energy by heart. Low energy by
heart. Hey, Yaffers. This is Low Energy Mike from Northeastern Oregon. Today is a snowboard day. 4 inches of fresh, fluffy white stuff should make for some fun in the trees. They say that this is the busiest weekend of the year, so I will probably only go for a couple hours because I don't care for long lines. This last week, I finally decided to tackle a project that I've been dreading. Broke the side window on my excavator last August. The glass guy said he had to lift the cap to install the new glass. So I temporarily patched it up with plexiglass. So this week has been all about figuring out what is needed to raise the cap frame up about 6 inches. What a pain in the ass. It's all now waiting for the glass guy to come and do his stuff. Gonna go do some pow. Talk to you later.
Very nice.
You know, thanks, Low Energy Mike. Do that.
Okay.
That was Low Energy Mike. That was Low Energy Mike.
If I'm not mistaken, I don't think there was a single mention of mud in that call.
No. Call. Yeah.
All right. So it's not top of mind for him now. That was because there were 2 weeks in a row where that's all he cared about. I'm glad he got into the snow.
Have you guys like skiers or snowboarders? Have you done that?
I've skied one time.
What about you, Larry?
Yeah, I've barely gotten on either, and it's just not something we gravitate to. Although I'd like to snowboard, except I think my knees would just shatter after.
I wonder why there's just nobody that's like, you know. I want to be like a professional sledder. Like, I want to take a sled up to a ski place, like my big orange sled, and get like a helmet and goggles and all that shit. But I'm like, I'm toting an orange sled behind me. And nice. I want to get up and I want to go down one of those mountains on a sled. And I want that to become a thing. Like, I don't think it's fair that the sledders have to stay in the bottom when they're actually probably the ones that are being the safest because they're sitting on their ass. They're just going down on us. They're not as going as fast.
I'm telling you, I'm with you, Josh. In some of this, I would say from my childhood, if they made it an Olympic sport, I would be a gold medal inner tuber on the slopes.
Oh my God. Inner tube.
Tubing down those hills, man. I knew what I was doing.
They used to call you Jeffrey Tubin. No, they didn't. They didn't.
Wow.
There's a lot of them this hour.
That's such a... That's some of that highbrow dad joke stuff.
Here's the thing with tubing though. If you hit a little, even like a 6-inch jump or whatever, you'll fly off with the inner tube. But then when you land, right, the inner tube bounces you up into the air, and it's instant ejection from the inner tube. So
right, maybe for the amateur or the novice, sure, Josh. But if you really know what you're doing, you can actually take that air, come back down, even have some slight separation and land in the tube for a triumphant, stick the landing.
Maybe we can make that a separate discipline from sledding. Like, you know what I mean? Like have like, you know, like skiing, they have slalom and then all these other different type of facets. We can have like sledding, but then there's like the different disciplines. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Let's work on it.
You've got the luge, but you know, you're just, that's basically NASCAR at Olympics. It's like, come on, let's,
I want a hill. I just want a giant hill.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying it needs to be something out in the open.
Yeah.
Yeah. There needs to be a stump sticking out that you got to avoid. There's got to be, you know, throw a couple of 3-year-olds that just fell off there a second ago.
Yeah. Send them shooting up into the air when you clip their shins and coming around a corner. Yeah. It's a great idea.
Make it interesting. Absolutely.
And if you wreck, you're allowed to get back on and keep on going. You know what I mean? Like there's no, because basically everybody will wreck at least once going down a ski hill in a sled, but. Yeah, I let's do this. Why don't they do that? Okay. Why? This is not fair. Why aren't sledders allowed to ride on the ski paths?
Hey man, keep lobbying for it.
Try it sometime, see if they kick you off.
Do I just show up like the streaker with all my outfit and my sled, just get on the ski lift and be like,
wouldn't it be great if you stood in line and you get there and the guy, they're helping you on the lift and you've got just a big old giant sled. It's like, thanks man, I got this.
That's what I'm saying. And they're like, hey sir, no. And I'm like, bite me. And I just run and dive off the thing.
That would be great.
Show me in the rule book where it says no sledding.
No, I'm going to take two sleds. So when they say you can't ride that, I'm gonna be like, actually, I'm gonna stand on these, and these are my skis. So eat them.
Oh my God!
Hey yeah, Andy, before you strike that chord, let me just dip into the Yafsack real quick. Your artificial friends@gmail.com. Jeremy reached out to us with additional information about his birthday. Okay, I'm an idiot. Thanks for reading my email. My son's name is Tyler. He will be 16 on February 21st. Thank you all. So happy birthday, Tyler.
Has that passed?
Happy birthday.
Has that passed?
No. No.
Not by the time this airs. No.
Let's see. 15, 16, 17, 8. People, this is 18th of the people hearing this on Thursday the 18th. So it's this weekend.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
This coming weekend, as this is released.
As this airs, it's this coming weekend.
Right, it's Sunday.
Right. Do we have to film ourselves doing this?
I think this is good enough. This should do it. What was his name again?
Because I don't want to work that hard.
Jeremy, hopefully you, if you actually let him listen to this, we can wish Tyler a happy birthday right now. Happy birthday. Yeah. Waving.
Happy birthday, Tyler. Hi, there you go. Waving. We're waving to you. Distrust us. We are. Waving to you.
Jeremy also adds, hold on, let me read. By the way, don't tell Andy, but I do enjoy the home improvement. Oh, crap.
See, I told you.
I've done some projects in quarantine, so I can appreciate it. And, well, great, Jeremy.
How's the, how's the French drains coming along in the dollhouse?
I heard that back this last week.
Yeah,
Josh, that was a home run. That was you smacked that one out of the park.
Oh, that delighted every one of us. Yes.
Did you do any work in the dollhouse?
Yeah, we did. Yeah. I did some reconstructive surgery on the doll, and then paused it because all the glue had to dry. But it would be nice to get a little bit more done this weekend,
copper plumbing in there.
Yeah, I put an attic in.
Nice.
And did a lot of gluing to fix the innards of the whole thing. But there's more to go. Oh, and I found a piece of eighth inch plywood at the store down at Animal. That's going to be great. It's the perfect color. It's going to help me match the shingle color on everything. It's going to be dynamite.
Did you know how excited he was about eighth inch plywood?
I know. He gets a little chubby when he talks about it. Hey, pairing some of the topic from last week to this week, it just occurred to me your behavioral issues with Viv, if maybe you just slip a little dose of CBD in that juice at the end of the day, you know? Maybe dialing back a little on the cranky, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, just put a little laudanum right there in the
Jesus.
Right there in
the 1930s. What the hell?
Gotta go down and ask Festus and Doc for some cocaine and water.
All right.
I don't have a hand for you.
Just drop it in my pickle barrel, and I'll take it back.
Yeah. Josh, have you never seen Gunsmoke?
No, I don't watch that shit.
You never saw Gunsmoke?
I've seen it, but I've forced myself to look away because I don't want to watch it.
Longest running television show ever, I believe.
Yeah. So
but The Simpsons might have beat it.
Yeah, I think it's been beaten. Since then, but yeah, it held the record
for a very long time.
I can't watch any of that Nick at Night crap. I can't watch Dobie Gillis. I can't watch My Three Sons. I can't watch.
Well, Gunsmoke would be on
AMC
or some shit.
But yeah. Gunsmoke actually also held the record for the longest running, most boring show of all time.
No, what about A Little House on the Prairie? Which one's more boring?
I like Little House on the Prairie.
Gunsmoke is a snooze, man. Gunsmoke and Bonanza. All right. Those.
Okay, here's what I got the most boring program of all time that I was forced to watch every Sunday.
Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman.
Close. Touched by an Angel.
What about Murder, She Wrote?
I used to have to watch Touched by an Angel at the Elks Lodge while I was serving beer every Sunday night at 9 o'clock, 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock, and it was an effing nightmare with one guy and his wife, and I would just sit there and be like, oh, God.
That's amazing.
Just firing down, this guy be drinking beers and firing down cigarettes till 10 o'clock watching Touched by an Angel.
Hey, so what's, we're going to take this next week off, guys, because we're having a little family trip and I won't be around for it. What's going on this week? Anything good?
Well, we got Valentine's Day tomorrow, so I'm going to make sweet, passionate love onto my wife.
There you go.
On to her?
Yes. I will actually be able to follow up with that and actually satisfy Cindy later in the day. So,
wow. Did you hear that?
It's an annual tradition we have.
It is. It's a little fun little thing we do. You know, keeps a spice in life.
Mm-hmm. Mix it up a little bit.
Yeah. Hey, if you guys take pictures of that, keep them to yourself.
Actually, what we're going to do is we're going to get the heaters.
No, we take pictures and then Josh gags at him the whole time.
We're going to get the heaters going.
Go. We lost him.
Oh, God, he just fainted.
Did he collapse?
I'm here.
Oh, there we go. Yeah. you literally disappeared like a ghost in your image there for it scared the heck out of me.
I dropped something. I went like this.
Yeah. Right. Well, then your internet froze and you were, it was nobody there for the longest time.
Just, I'm a wizard. I could just disappear. Watch.
All right. Nice. This is falling apart at, oh, the, sure, at the end here.
Well, as you hear this, I'll be having my physical. So wish me luck with that this week.
Yeah, okay. Boy, you've had your colonoscopy, your physical.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm getting it all checked out. Oh, I went and got blood drawn today.
Yeah.
That was great. The phlebotomist was, let's say their aim was subpar. They went in once with a big needle, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's like, yeah, I think I feel one here. I'm like, okay. And I'm, did he look like, I'm like watching right there.
Did he look like the doctor from Cannonball Run?
Yeah. Yeah. Jack Elam. with like one eye.
Screw the eyeball.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then, yeah, so he tries one and nothing. You know, air comes out.
Dust.
And so he takes that out and he's like, yeah, or he like digs around with that one for a couple of seconds.
Oh,
and
geez.
Then takes a couple of jabs at it. Yeah, and he's like, I'll try one more time. And it gets out. I'll use a smaller needle this time. And it goes and he's like, I think there should be one right here, yeah, somewhere over right here. And I'm like, do you mind if I poke? Can I? And he's like, no, sure.
You did your own?
No, do you mind if I like, you know, tap my, and show you where it is? And he goes, it should feel spongy. I said, yeah, I got it. And I'm like, I think it's right there.
I just wish you would have said, give me that frickin' thing.
Right?
Jab it in your arm.
And he's like, oh, yeah, okay, yeah. All right, that looks pretty good. And then he sticks it in like a quarter inch to the right of that. I'm like, I was like apoplectic for a second. I'm like, but we just said right there. And then I said, hey, if you don't mind, I think it's a little bit like a quarter inch to the left of that. And he's like, oh, okay. And he pokes it into the right. And I'm like, other left. He's like, oh yeah. And he's like, hey, you're good at this. I'm like, I need to be. What the hell?
Oh, so God, would you say that guy was just a big old prick over and over again? See there? I got him too. Hello?
I'd say you were.
I'm not gonna fall into this little trap of you guys doing these. I'm just going to just be me. I'm not doing the dad jokes.
I'm not going to let you needle me, Larry.
All right, well, I'm going to go. So see you guys.
Phlebotomy.
I'm going to stick it to you next time.
Phlebotomy. No Ramones fans. All right. How can people get a hold of you, Josh?
Oh, he's faking a freeze. There we go. I thought so. I thought I saw him breathe.
Josh J. Flinger at gmail.com.
Larry.
You can find me on the Instagram at the Larry Morgan.
And what's that YAF SAC address
Your artificial friends at gmail.com.
For me, I'm on the Instagram, Andy Chanley, and you can reach out on the Twitter at Andy_Chanley, on Facebook at DJ Andy Chanley.
I'm going to go cut my hair.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I'm going to shave all my beard off and cut my hair. I think I might just do it by myself outside.
Nice.
I'm going to go shave all my body hair off. Oh, nice. What a coincidence.
By yourself, or are you going to get some assistance?
Oh, I'm going to do it by myself.
How do you do your back?
There's a way.
Okay. Mirror.
I'm very flexible, Josh.
Tie rope to it. Just let it drain down your neck.
he's got a little scissors and a mirror.
When the people that you know don't like you and your treasured friendships end, tune into this podcast. We're your artificial friends.
Everybody, see you in a couple weeks.